Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, that you make this possible. We ask, Lord, that you bless us with wisdom today, faith concerning your immunization, and thank you so much for putting your grace upon us and in us and through us. Thank you for your Psalm 91 Passover. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. I am going to share some revelations with you. First, I want to just share a note here. I can see that there's some revelations that are coming out. Some are saying that because a CT scan of the coronavirus damaged to the lungs shows a very similar pattern to the destruction of the lungs by 5G. And so these people are saying that there is no plague. It's 5G. Well, I think the history of the making of this plague is well known. We've discussed it. It is a plague. And I read scientists that say that other diseases also mimic this 5G-looking destruction. So we don't have to pick one or the other. It can be both. I believe the reason for this is evident in the nations which have gone to 5G. The plague is much more destructive, like in China and Iran. And that's because there is two problems destroying the lungs. And I believe the resulting pneumonia kills a lot more easily this way. That's my explanation, okay? I think the fact that other diseases also mimic 5G lets you know that this is definitely both of these together destroying people's bodies. And I do believe the president and some others are looking at sending up satellites to fire 5G from space rather than have it on the earth where it's very destructive to humans. Anyway, so I'm going to go on to our revelations today. And this first one we called Righteous Spared the Pestilence. And this is Judy Farno. She received this dream on 2/23/20. And she sent it first to Eve, and Eve put some notes in there, and then she sent it to me because I was busy. And so I'm going to share this with you. Judy said, "I dreamed I was near a train station, like the one they had in Huntington, Indiana. And a train was coming that was full of vaccines." Okay. You know, the president said in 3 weeks they can have a vaccine. Other people have said that's not possible because this disease morphs from person to person. And also the Jews are saying that they are within a vaccine time within about 3 weeks, I think I heard. So I the history of vaccines is very, it's very destructive. I mean, there's a lot of poisons in there to the body. It's like you're doing a trade-off here. So anyway, this is an interesting revelation here. So the train was coming with and was full of vaccines. Eve noted that Huntington is a boy's name of English origin, meaning hunter's settlement. The deep state factious hunters want to kill us by depopulation through disease and famine so that they can settle the earth with their bloodlines. But Q says the hunters will become the hunted. Yes, that's what we're discovering. And they've been hunting them down and laying up, being prepared for prosecutions against these people. And I believe this is what's happening. And, you know, Huntington's disease is a brain disorder that is a progressive neurodegenerative condition marked especially by impairments in the thinking and reasoning. Sound familiar? Disturbances of emotion and behavior. Sound familiar? And the involuntary spasmodic movements that are associated with the loss of atrophy of nerve cells. Yes, we've seen that in some of them too, especially some of the leadership. I think they say it's from eating human flesh or eating babies disease, you know. Anyway, the neurological disorder and loss of logical reasoning describes very well to us the stupid demons given to the faction that's in the government and the church. It's just people just can't believe what they're hearing from these people. And how contrary to the truth all of it is. Well, that's what happens when demons come in, I got to tell you. They lie. And they don't necessarily make sense. They're not necessarily believable. People that don't know about demons are just scratching their head. How can this be? How can they say that? You know, they don't understand. This is a demonic infestation from the top down. When I say the top, I mean Satan on down. They're Satanists. Okay, so Eve went on to say, here is something else connecting the meaning of Huntington in this dream of the vaccine train. Only in this article, it's Huntington Beach, California. The source of this excerpt is here. Put the link there. Yeah. And, quote, the U.S. government seems to be trying to seed coronavirus infections into Los Angeles. I think it's more like the CDC, not the U.S. government, but because it's been pretty infested too. Okay. Meanwhile, the U.S. government just tried to transfer up to 50 confirmed infected patients to the Fairview Development Center in Costa Mesa, California, a kind of residential community with zero controls for level 4 bioweapons or infectious diseases. This center is right next to Huntington Beach, Newport Beach in California, just south of Los Angeles, where over 10 million people could spread the disease if containment fails. Sounds like a conspiracy to me. Oh, boy. Yep. They're making some very, very foolish mistakes, but I don't think a lot of it is mistakes. I'm suspicious, kind of like Eve here, you know. It goes on to say, if the U.S. government were literally trying to cause a nationwide outbreak, they couldn't have picked a better place to release the virus and watch it spread across Los Angeles and then the entire nation. We are either dealing with an unprecedented criminal negligence here or a deliberate campaign to spread the virus across America. Either way, the infections are mounting across America, but the CDC refuses to test anyone who got infected in America. And, well, not only do the tests fail, probably 4 out of every 5 times, they get it wrong, so they're useless. But also, there's a good reason for not testing, because then you can't make that as a number, right? You can't make a number out of that. They're sticking with the 15 that was weeks ago. They're sticking with the 15, okay, which is ridiculous. People across the nation are suffering. And the quarantines are going on. They're putting people in self-quarantines. They've been doing this for weeks now. They go home, lock themselves in voluntarily, which doesn't work, as we found out in the rest of the world. So as a result, this epidemic is exploding across the USA entirely unseen and unreported by the disastrously dishonest fake news media and the criminally run big tech speech police that protect the official narrative. So Eve said, I received Genesis 25 and 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. As you know, Esau didn't treat Jacob very well. He was factious against his brother Israel, which is very similar to what happened to Jesus and all the prophets, you know, and Jesus's apostles and anybody that was sent to him. They were very factious against him, tried to kill him, and in most cases did. Oh, so Esau being factious against Israel, who is a type of the New Testament church, he was the Old Testament church, a type of the New Testament church, and Esau desired to kill him, which is still going on today. The deep state faction in the government is also typed by Esau, who are factious against the Trump administration and who are now hunting them down. The hunters will become the hunted. It is happening. But there's a retaliation going out, and according to what we said over 2.5 years ago, this was going to be released by the faction in the government, the deep state. And it has. And we told President Trump at that time that they were going to do this. So anyway. And when the David man-child came to power, he conquered the Esau, which is his seed was all called the Edomites, right? Sufera received this by faith at random. Psalm of David 108, 10 through 13. Who will bring me? This is David speaking. Who will bring me into the fortified city of Edom, right? Who hath led me unto Edom? Hast not thou cast us off, O God? And thou goest not forth, O God, with our hosts? Give us help against the enemy. Good prayer. Give us help against the enemy, or the adversary, excuse me. For vain is the help of man, true, and we'll find that out with the vaccines too. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that will tread down our adversaries. Yes. And this is the faction destroyed by God in the David man-child body. Yeah. Or I should say by the David man-child body. Okay. Also, our dreams are saying that this COVID-19 coronavirus will be used by God to destroy this faction movement in the church and in the government. It's our Red Sea. That's right, that we've been telling you is coming. How do these two destroyers of the factious jive? I mean, how can it be both David and God, you know, that's doing this? Well, I believe the Davids have prophetically spoken this plague on them by speaking the dreams, visions, words, and prophecies sent by God. It's the word of God. It will be fulfilled. The words that have been given to us will be fulfilled. I want to say also that, COVID-19 isn't probably the only disease that they've attempted to do this with and are attempting to do with this. There are other diseases they're attempting to put into this country, as we have mentioned in this same series. So it's a soup of diseases that they're attempting, including the flu. I mean, the president pointed out how many people died of the flu. Well, they called it the flu the whole time they were spraying people that brought flu symptoms on people, and hospital wards were being filled up with pneumonia patients. We know about this. And it wasn't the flu. It was the spray from the air. Okay. So I had hoped, of course, that they wouldn't permit, that President Trump would not permit this anymore, because he don't know exactly what they're throwing in those barrels in those planes. And anyway, Eve said, the hunters will become the hunted. Genesis 10 and 9, starting in verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter. There it is again. A hunter. Before the Lord. Yes. Wherefore it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. That's right. From which type, of course, we get Babylon. And Erech, and Akkad, and Calna in the land of Shinar, which is in Babylon, right? In Babylon, we have decided that the Lord has shown us it's the deep state. It's going to be destroyed, but there'll still be a government here. Cyrus, who destroyed the Babylonish Empire and set God's people free to go home to their country and rebuild the kingdom, right? Yes. And it goes on to say, out of that land he went forth into Assyria and builded Nineveh. That's another beast kingdom that tried to destroy the people of God. In this text you can see our Babylon beast, you know, the deep state hunter who wants to kill the church and the right wing U.S. And you can see the Assyrian beast, the hunter, also has attempted to destroy Jerusalem. A type of the born-again bride, but were destroyed themselves. Yeah. And so back to Judy's revelation. She said, David and Michael didn't want the train to stop in our town, which we perceived as representative of Zion, a type of the bride. And, of course, the bride will not need man's dangerous vaccines, but is under the Passover immunity because they ate the lamb, like in Exodus 12, right? And who is the lamb? The Word of God. Should you consume the Word of God, it goes into you, as you know, naturally speaking, and it becomes who you are. It becomes your cells and so on and so forth. The Word of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Does Jesus need a vaccine? No, I don't think so. Do those who live in Jesus need a vaccine? No, I don't think so. So Exodus 12 and 13 says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Notice it's the Lord who's in control of this pestilence. I will pass over you, and there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. When I smite the land of Egypt. So he caused the death angel to pass over the Israelites, and it struck the Egyptians. Also, the confession of Psalm 91 brings immunity to the righteous. Try it. Confess this. People, and I think it was our last broadcast, or the one before, we talked about this and it gave examples of how people claim Psalm 91, even lost people claim Psalm 91 and did not get shot in the war. Whole platoons of people did this and not a one of them was lost. Can you imagine? God's honoring his word. He wants to show even the wicked that his word is true. Right? So this confession of Psalm 91 brings immunity to the righteous. I'll just read a portion of it. Psalm 91, 2 through 11. I will say of the Lord. You have to confess it. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. There you go. He'll deliver you from the deadly pestilence. Are you a Christian? You should be a believer. Here's an advantage. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. In other words, it protects you. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, or for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Don't be afraid. Fear absorbs the curse. Faith repels the curse. It's just the way it is. For the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. And notice he's talking about a plague here. And 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. God's promise for those who believe, right? Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Oh, my goodness, you see, who is it that the plague's going to take out? The wicked. It can be the wicked among God's people, because there are plenty of them, or the wicked in the world. Either way, he's taking down people that are hindering his kingdom. Even in families, where a member has hindered someone in the family from the kingdom, the Lord can remove them out of the way. And for thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. Notice the confession again. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. You confess it. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There you go. So you're dwelling in him, right? There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. Boy, that's good. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Can you think the angels can keep you? I guarantee you. Confess him before men. He is the high priest of our confession, right? Back to Judy. So they got together with another minister, which he put Jesus in there. I think that's great because we do walk with Jesus, right? We walk with the Word and walk in the Word. You're walking with Jesus. How can two walk together except they be agreed, right? If you're not agreeing with God concerning what his Bible has to say about plagues, you're not walking with him. Okay. And they went over to the train station. They commanded that the vaccine train He commanded the vaccine train to go in the name of Jesus. And then they heard a gunshot, and David and Michael fell to cover on the ground. Interesting. So Eve wrote a note here. This is like the deep state factious man in Claire's dream and my dream. They both had a dream sent to us at the same time from opposite ends of the earth. So there's no collaboration here, you know. And of course, I'm going to share both of those below if we get to them. Also, this reminds me, she said, of the dream that I had of getting low to the ground and low crawling among the roots of the grass in order to escape the pestilence storm. And I put cytostorm. That's a storm the scientists are calling what happens to your organs when this disease just spreads rapidly like a storm in your body and takes you down. Cytostorm. It's interesting. They're calling it a storm, and Eve's dream called it a storm too. Very interesting. And of course, that's what's coming against this country right now. And we must hold to the roots, like in her dream. We must hold to the roots of the Word to be spared. Remember in the parable of the sower? They didn't give root to the word that was spoken, right? And of course, they didn't bear fruit and they were lost. Yeah, actually, 3 out of 4 in the parable of the sower were lost because of that, for one reason or the other. And then back to Judy. Then Michael's big, silver, fluffy Eskimo dog came over by them to make sure Michael was okay. You know, Michael means who is like God, right? So I'm guessing he's talking about, the Lord is talking about, the people who are like God. Anyway, the Eskimo dog came over to make sure Michael was okay, and David yelled at Michael, "Are you okay?" I say that to Michael all the time. Everybody laughed when I did that in our local assembly the other day. I was reading a portion of this, and I said that. Are you okay? He said, "This dog reminds me of the story of a dog named Balto, who was a hero that helped save many lives during an outbreak of disease. Balto, from 1919 to 1933, was a Siberian husky and a sled dog who led his team on the final leg of the 1925 serum run to Nome, in which diphtheria antitoxin was transported from Anchorage, Alaska to Nenana, Alaska, by train, and then to Nome by dog sled to combat an outbreak of the disease." And he explains, back in those days, the remedies that were created were actually an attempt to help people. But today, they're designed to injure and bring about eventual death of people to reduce the population. So Michael's dog represents the heroic efforts of those of the faith to rebuke the plots and plans of the enemy to bring death and destruction to others. Yeah, that's interesting. And then she tells the story, which I don't think I have time to go through, of Balto here, which is very interesting, but it's going to be here in the text so you can read it, okay? And then Judy said, "I woke up." And she said, "I asked Father for a verse by faith at random and received Mark 14:58, in context 55 through 62. Here it is. Now the chief priests and the whole council sought witness against Jesus to put him to death. It's always been that way, the beast against the righteous, right? And these bunch of traitors, these bunch of factious traitors, were putting their own brother to death here. And he had done nothing but good, can you imagine? But they were jealous, just like the factious traitors are today, right? And they found it not, for many bear false witness against him, and their witness agreed not together. So, you know, according to the law, you have to have two witnesses, and they got to agree, right? And there stood up certain and bear false witness against him. That's slander and faction. That's what it is. Saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" Well, you know, Jesus did not say, "I will destroy this temple." He said those factious people would destroy this temple, in John 2:19. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." So he told them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews therefore said, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou raise it up in 3 days?" That's all they knew was the letter. They couldn't see through the parable, right? "But he spake of the temple of his body." Yeah. If they destroyed that temple of his body, he would raise it up in 3 days. Well, guess what? It's happening. God's going to resurrect the body of Christ. Okay. So, notice, these same factious slanders are destroying his body today. He raised up his first body, and he will raise up his corporate end-time body in our day. He is both the man-child corporate body, the first fruits of that end-time body, and afterwards the church corporate body, when they come into his image. You understand, why do I say when they come into his image? Because you're not the body of Christ unless Christ lives in you. Who lives in the body of Christ? He does. And the man-child is a parable and a proof that Jesus Christ will come to live in his people who are humble to his word and his spirit. And the man-child represents the first fruits of those that actually are a body of Christ. The church, after being raised up by the man-child and the bride, also shall become a body of Christ. Meaning, of course, Christ lives in them. Okay, you can't accuse them of that nowadays, though, right? So, 59. And not even so did their witness agree together. So they broke their own law, because they never found two witnesses of the same sin, just like the factious slanderers of our day. They twist and pervert the word and break their own law. Right. Verse 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? Well, obviously they didn't witness anything, because they didn't agree. But he held his peace and answered nothing, because you couldn't win in this kangaroo court, right? Again, the high priest asked him and saith unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, and now he knew this was going to get him in trouble, didn't he? Jesus said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on with the clouds of heaven. And Eve said, this is exactly what the factious liars do to try to overthrow the authority of the legitimate government and the church. I agree. And she went on to say, I also asked Father for a word for us by faith at random concerning the dream, and my finger was on crafty counsel. Yes, that's what they are. And Psalm 83 and 3 is what she received. And in context, 1 through 18 is very interesting. We'll read it. O God, keep not thou silence, hold not thy peace. Be not still, O God, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. Notice they hated God, so they hated God's people. It's normal, because they are more like God than anything else around, right? So if they hate God, they'll hate his people. And in this particular story, all of the factious groups came together to try to destroy God's people. So, and this is, of course, the faction in the government and the church. Very interesting. Verse 3, they take crafty counsel against thy people and consult together against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. Hatred, hatred for their own brethren, right? Just like the Jews hated the Christians in that day. That the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Israel, of course, was the name of the name that became a corporate body of the first church in the Old Covenant. And it's a type of the church in the New Covenant, a type and a shadow. Okay, so they wanted to cut them off so that they did not exist anymore. The faction who have warred against me have said almost this exact same thing. For they have consulted together with one consent. Against thee do they make a covenant. Yes, they gathered themselves together. We couldn't do it individually. Let's try it if we get all together, right? Well, isn't it interesting in this day that the faction in the government is joined in the beast by the faction in the church? They're both a part of the beast. Remember, the dragon was seeking to devour the man-child, right, and failed. And then the bride, and failed. Yeah. So all the factious enemies of God's people come together against them. Okay, back to Eve's text here. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, there you see, enemies that have factioned against their own brethren. Moab, no more kinfolks, and the Hagarines, more kinfolks, Gebel and Ammon, there's another kinfolk, and Amalek, Philistia, with the inhabitants of Tyre. So all but the last few of these were kin of Israel, and factioned against them, their own brethren, like Joseph, like Jesus, like the prophets, like the apostles. It's all the way through the Bible. This history just repeats. That's all it does. And the rest of these people were a part of the world beast. So now you've got a joining together of the faction of supposedly God's people with the beast, because they are a member of the body of the beast, and they will take the mark of the beast because they have the spiritual mark of the beast in their mind and in their works. That is the forehead and the hand. Yeah. So it's just history what's happening here. They're all joining together in the beast to come against the people of God, right? So this faction is joined with the beast. And just as those who crucified Jesus and now the church. Assyria also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, another kinfolk, right? Selah. So here is the curse that God spoke upon those traitors. And of course, they're types of the same traitors today. That's then and today what he spoke against those traitors. Do thou unto them as unto Midian, and as to Sisera, and as to Jabin at the river Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeeb, yea, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves in possession the habitations of God. Yes, and they've thought to take over this ministry and to rob and plunder it, and to take down the word of God from the internet. They have a hatred for the word of God. Yes, they've done all these things. Very, very wicked. But God. That's what we can say. But God. Verse 13. Oh, my God, make them like the whirling dust, as stubble before the wind, and as the fire that burneth the forest, and as the flame that setteth the mountains on fire, so pursue them with thy tempest, and terrify them with thy storm. So he did it in history, and now he's going to do it again, because history just repeats, right? So this, Eve said, this is like the storm in my dream that picked up the shadowy man and dropped him on his head. Yeah, and the Saito storm, which is how the pestilence kills its victims. Right? Fill their faces with confusion, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Oh, I pray this happens for those who are ignorant and innocent and were deceived by these wicked men and women. I pray this happens for them, that they will repent before this thing totally sweeps through in anger. Because only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Yea, let them be confounded and perish. Forever is a long time, you know, to make this foolish mistake. That they may know that thou alone, whose name is the Lord, art the Most High over all the earth. Well, notice, the beast came to destroy God's people, but they were destroyed instead. Babylon, the deep state faction, created this plague to destroy us, but God will turn it upon them. Types we have received of this reversal of fortunes were Sennacherib scenario, the Jehoshaphat scenario, where the three armies came against him, the Northern Army scenario in Joel chapter 2. And in all of these battles, the beast came to destroy the bride, Jerusalem, but they were destroyed instead. Pharaoh also came to the Red Sea to destroy the people of God, but was destroyed instead. All of these were supernatural acts of God against a factious beast army like the deep state and the faction in the church. Debbie Finsky received by faith at random Psalm 141:8. For mine eyes are unto thee, O Lord, the Lord, and in thee do I take refuge. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snare which they have laid for me, and from the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. What does that tell you? It tells you that the trap that they laid to destroy God's people will destroy them. Just as all the types and shadows that the Lord has given us all the way down to today. That's no accident. The leadership of Babylon will fall to Cyrus, a type of Trump. And God's holy people are set free to rebuild their kingdom. Michael Hare received by faith at random, Jeremiah 51:44-46. Listen, and I will execute judgment upon Bel in Babylon. Oh, you know, Bel was the god of Babylon, and Bel was the dragon. Yes. And I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. He's going to deliver God's people out of bondage in Babylon. And the nation shall not flow any more into him or unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. And it did to Cyrus. And it will to Cyrus. My people, go ye out of the midst of her and save yourselves every man from the fierce anger of the Lord. Yes, come out of her, my people. He's not talking about geography here. He's talking about spiritually, of clinging to their ways. You know what the faction does? They have the ways of the world. They forget the word of God. Doesn't matter how often you quote it. And then verse 46, he says, and let not your hearts faint, neither fear ye the tidings that shall be heard in the land. For tidings shall come one year, and after that in another year shall come tidings, and violence in the land. Ruler against ruler. I'll have a couple of ideas about this ruler against ruler. Look, we've got the right and the left constantly back and forth. That's ruler against ruler. Then we've got Cyrus coming in to take out the left. That's ruler against ruler. So are we seeing this or not? I would say so in many ways. Now, let me say that the stupid demons will rule over the reprobates until the plague empties cities and houses. But the holy people will be saved. Missy Pollock received by faith at random, Isaiah 6:9, let's see, through 13. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this, notice the stupid demons here, okay, look. They see, but they don't see. They don't perceive. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn again and be healed. There you go. There it is. You see what the stupid demons do to these people? They can't perceive anything good and righteous and truthful. Can't do it. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until cities be waste without inhabitant. And houses without man, and the land become utterly waste. And the Lord have removed men far away, and the forsaken places be many in the midst of the land. Well, you know what happened to the city where this thing started, over there in China. Millions fled out of there before they closed the gates. They fled out of there. Who knows where they went, but they carried that stuff with them, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. And if there be yet a tenth in it, it also shall be turned, shall turn, in turn be eaten up as a terebinth and as an oak whose stock remaineth when they are felled. So this is like an oak. You cut it down, there's still a pretty solid stump right there. And the roots are still in the ground. Guess what it's going to do? Yeah. And then he says, so the holy seed is the stock thereof. Meaning God is going to create something out of this after he wipes out the rest of it, which is not of him. Pretty plain parable, isn't it? And as we saw, the anointed man-child body is coming to judge the faction. Because David, who represents the man-child body of his day, is the one who took out the Edomites. And he put his forces in their cities and controlled them. You know, this anointed man-child body is coming. The man-child body is here, but they have yet to receive that kingly anointing. But it's upon us. It is upon us. And even what's been spoken through the pre-anointed man-child in these days is going to come to pass. It is coming to pass. You know, I've for weeks now, I've seen on my digital clock 144, 441, 2 to 3 times a day. And for a while now, and I know it is a sign of the birth of the man-child ministry, 144. So I asked the Lord when his man-child would come, and I got by faith at random, Ezekiel 17, 22 through 24. Now let me say, just before this text, God spoke of the apostate leadership, the Zedekiah leadership, being conquered and taken captive to Babylon. That's right. So what happens when you take away the bad leadership? Well, it's time for the new leadership to come. God designed this whole thing, and he's designed it in our day, too. Okay, so here comes, in this context, the new leadership. Ezekiel 17, 22 through 24. Thus saith the Lord, I will also take of the lofty top of the cedar, and will set it. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one. There's that man-child, a tender one. And I will plant it upon the high and lofty mountain. That's Zion. Right? That's where David ruled. And in the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it. And it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar. That's a everlasting life cedar, right? And under it shall dwell all birds of every wing. In the shade of the branches thereof shall they dwell. In other words, all kinds of people are going to come under the man-child ministry. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree. That was Zedekiah and his leadership, which led God's people astray. And have exalted the low tree. That's the man-child. And have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. Pretty interesting parable there. Then I got by faith at random the next day, Ecclesiastes 4, 13 through 16. Listen to this. Better is a poor and a wise youth than an old and a foolish king, who knoweth not how to receive admonition any more. Sounds like Herod and Jesus, right? Yeah. Well, that was a type and shadow of the beast and the man child of our day. Verse 14. For out of prison he came forth to be king. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Jesus, Joseph, the man child body of our day. Out of prison he came forth to be king. Yea, even in his kingdom he was born poor. Jesus certainly was, no matter how much the prosperity preachers try to make him anything else but that. Yeah. And I saw all the living that walk under the sun, that they were with the youth. That's Jesus. The second that stood up in his stead, that's the man-child body. Remember? History repeats, except it repeats on a larger scale. So the second that stood up in Jesus' stead was the man-child body, is the man-child body. There was no end of all the people, even of all of them over whom he was. Now notice, Jesus in the man-child body is over all of these people in our day. Yet they that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and a striving after wind. People missed it. They missed what Jesus did. Even the Jews, who were supposed to be God's people, missed who Jesus was and what he came to do. They missed it. And a lot of Christians are missing it today. They say, just accept Jesus. Go sit down on your pew and wait for the rapture. No one has ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. That means Christ in you is what God is after. Right? That's who's going to ascend to heaven. And then Matt Farah got by faith at random, John 12 and 23. And Jesus answereth them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The Son of Man was, of course, the Son of God inside the Son of Man, who was of the seed of David, the Bible says. And so we got the same parable today, except on a larger scale. And they're about to be glorified. That means their anointing is coming upon the man child, right? And Sue Gilbert received by faith at random, Isaiah 66, 5 through 14. Her finger was on verse 5. That we. Isaiah 66, 5 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hate you. There it is again. That cast you out for my name's sake have said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. In other words, they're taunting there. They're being sarcastic, right? But it is they that shall be put to shame. They laid the trap. They're going to fall into it. The hunters will become the hunted. It is they that shall be put to shame. A voice of tumult from the city. A voice from the temple. Well, the temple is, of course, in the midst of the bride because the Lord is in the midst of his bride, right? The bride city is Jerusalem as a type and shadow, right? A voice. So this voice is going to come out of the temple, out of the bride. Interesting. A voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Well, who rendered recompense to the enemies of God's people like Haman? It was Esther. Yeah. She spoke out of the king's house and destroyed the Haman enemy. The head of the beast of that day, right? Destroyed it. When, you know, when God decides, he uses righteous people as prophets to speak a word, that word will come to pass. It's because the Lord spoke through them. The Lord's going to speak through the bride. And, of course, who is the head of the bride? The man-child. David was the head of the bride, Jerusalem. He was the man-child. The man-child Davids of our day are going to speak this word. Before she travailed, she brought forth. There he comes, the man-child. And before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. This is about to happen. Who hath heard such a thing? And who hath seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Why is he calling it a land? Because this is the land of God's people. These are the real people of God. And they've come to restore God's people to the same position. They're reformers. That's who they are. Shall a land be born in one day? In other words, this is a corporate body of people being born, right? The ministry being born. They're already physically born. Now they're going to be spiritually born from above, right? Shall a nation be brought forth at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Amen. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I that cause to bring forth shut the womb, says thy God? So, and then we see the bride is going to be blessed at the time the man-child ministry's birth. You understand, let me say, if you look at all the types and shadows in the Bible, the bride is not the church. It's a member of the church. They're in the midst of the church body. The bride is in the midst of the church body. And that's where the man-child came from, including David, right? Rejoice ye. So look at this blessing upon the bride he speaks about here at this time when the man-child is born, right? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad for her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn over her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and delight with, and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. So, you know what? God is, the bride is going to feed her little sister and grow her up to mature to meet the King of Kings, right? And the bride's ministry is going to be to the church and to raise up the church. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall suck thereof, and you shall be borne upon the side, and shall be dandled upon the knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. See, God's people are going to seek out the spiritual born from above Jerusalem. The daughter of Zion, they're called in the Bible. Right, the daughter of the original physical Zion, you know. And you shall see it, and your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like the tender grass. God's people of the church are going to grow up under the man, child, and bride quickly. They're going to be delivered of their false and evil leadership, just as we've seen, and God's bringing them a new leadership, and they're going to grow very quickly in the way of the Lord under this leadership. And, of course, he has a very short time between there and the end of the tribulation period when everybody's got to be ready to meet the Lord, right? or sooner for some many people who are martyred, right? Sooner. And the hand of the Lord shall be known towards his servants, and he will have indignation against his enemies. Yes, he's going to fight for his people. Woe, woe to the earth and the wicked upon it, and especially the wicked who've taken control illegally over God's people, like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Yeah. Also, the man-child body and their disciples will resurrect the dead whom the Lord desires. And there ain't going to be everybody that's going to be resurrected from this plague, but there will be some resurrected from death in this plague. Shall unto receive by faith at random? Luke 7 and 12. And now when he drew near to the gate of the city, behold, there was carried out one that was dead, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And then the Lord saw her, and he had compassion on her, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came nigh and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he gave him to his mother. And fear took hold on all. And they glorified God, saying, A great prophet is arisen among us, and God hath visited his people. Amen. There's that visitation that you find all through the Old Testament. It's called a visitation. It was when God came to his people. How is God coming to his people? In the man-child. Through the Word and the Spirit in the man-child, Jesus is manifested, right? And then Brandy also received by faith at random, Malachi 3:16-18. Then they that feared the Lord spake one with another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. There you go. Those that fear the Lord, fear to offend him, fear to go against his word, they're going to be held in remembrance. And they think on his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, even mine own possession in the day that I make. And I will spare them. He'll spare those that fear the Lord. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Again, those that fear and serve the Lord. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now they all say that they serve God. But if a plague takes out the wicked, and you're there to see it, as Psalm 91 says, and these other people are spared, won't you understand that God spared them for a reason? Well, just notice here, those who are spared of the plague will be a witness of how God treats those who are right with him. Yeah. That'll be a sign, won't it? Yeah. Okay. And Gaynold Moser received a word that the man-child is coming now. And that was on 2:26. I'm not sure what to call this, as it was neither a dream nor a vision, but was more than just a word. I believe the Lord put it on my heart to take a nap so that he could awaken me with his voice. And I awoke to the voice of the Lord speaking to me. And the voice said, The man-child is being birthed. He spoke so clearly, as stating a fact. I soon realized that this was more than just a statement, as in the natural. I was feeling contractions, as in the birthing process. The Lord spoke again, saying, This is a spiritual birth. Then I felt a sensation of energy like electricity surge through my own body. The Lord's presence stayed with me for quite a while, and bless me with peace and rest in him. Later, when listening to the Wednesday broadcast, I opened my Bible to follow along in Jeremiah's chapters 19 through 21. And at the top of the page of Jeremiah 19, I had written in the margin, Jeremiah, man-child. That was like a confirmation on a previous confirmation that I had asked for. So a confirmation that gave a confirmation twice, right? So I asked for a verse by faith at random for this word and got Isaiah 54:5. For thy maker is thy husband. You know, he's making us. How is he making us? He, like the parable of the sower, he's sowing a seed in us. That's how he's a husband. He's sowing a seed in our heart, which is the word of God, which brings forth Jesus 30, 60, and 100 fold. There it is. And the Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is thy Redeemer. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. So the Lord, who is the husband, is coming in the man-child to lead the bride, in the wedding feast of the 7 days slash years, like the Daniel's 70th week was days that represented years, right? And she said, this was true for me personally. Verses 4 through 8 were really a comfort to me, knowing that he knows and understands my heart and the season I'm in. He has spoken to me many times that he is my husband and will take care of me. He has blessed me more than I could ask or imagine. So Gainold here is being used as a type of the bride in the midst of the larger church, which brings forth the man-child David's to be their leader, their head, right? The head is the husband, right? And Jesus was born of Mary of Judah and became her head. And John said of Jesus and his first fruits disciples, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Okay, so we're going to jump to this other dream given to Eve, which we spoke about earlier, a storm of judgment upon America, and how to be rooted and grounded in love to be spared of this storm. You've got this on 219. I dreamed that I was walking through a small city. Well, that just brought up in my mind the little city, right? The little city of the righteous, which was delivered from judgment and the beast in Genesis 19. Genesis 19 and 20 says, behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? There's that small city right there, a place where people can flee to. And my soul shall live. That was Lot, right? Ecclesiastes 9:13-18. I've also seen wisdom under the sun on this wise, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it. There came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Well, you know, the little city is the true people of God, the righteous who have fled from Sodom, you know, which is America, you know. And they fled. And the great king, of course, is the beast kingdom, the deep state that's warring against the people of God right now. And now there was found in that little city a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Yep, that's him. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise, heard in quiet, are better than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Amen. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. This is true. We found this to be true. One sinner can destroy much good. But the wicked have their day, and this plague is going to be part of their day. And he said there was a Hispanic festival taking place in the streets, and merchants were selling white Spanish dresses to all the young Hispanic ladies. I watched as all the young ladies were excitedly holding the dresses up to themselves and going and changing into them for the event. And she said in parenthesis here, we are strangers and sojourners in a foreign land. The bride is preparing for the marriage feast. Amen. So that's why it's the Hispanics are in a foreign land, right? Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeting them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Yes, we are. We're just passing through. This is very, very temporary. Not even a drop in the time of history that we have in eternity, right? Then I came upon a graduation ceremony with children from all nationalities. There they are, the people of God. And they were dressed in royal blue graduation caps and gowns and walking down the aisle to receive their diplomas as their names were being called. And I remembered an African boy with a big smile on his face walking up the aisle to get his diploma. And she puts, it's graduation time for the worldwide bride of Christ. Yes, indeed. My note is, in another of E's dreams, the bride was finished and ready for the marriage just after the faction died. Why is that? Well, because they were persecutors. Their job was over. God chose them to be the persecutors of the bride, the crucifiers of the bride. Their job was over. And then he always turns, this is his M.O., like in Isaiah chapter 10. He used the Assyrian army to come against the people of God. And when he had perfected the people of God, he turned on them. So this is, I mean, and it doesn't take a moment, I believe, for him to be ready. He's already ready to destroy the enemies of God's people. He is prepared. He is provoked. And he is ready. And after I passed this scene, I entered a huge parking lot. Parking lots are places where earthly vehicles are at rest. Is your earthly vehicle at rest? Are you at rest because you trust in God? Are you at ceasing from your own works because you trust in God? Yeah. It was getting dark, and I was walking across the parking lot, and I saw ominous storm clouds gathering overhead. And she put, a storm of testing is almost upon us, but we can be at rest through it all. Yes, amen. As I got to the other side of the parking lot, the wind from the storm increased tremendously, and I knew that I had to get low to the ground, or the wind would pick me up and carry me off. And she puts, representing safety in humility. Not just humility, but humility to God and His Word, right? Amen. People who are humble to the Word have nothing to worry about. Nothing. As long as you're making progress in the Lord, you may continue to do that. But when you come to the place where you've decided to stop and not go any further and not bear any fruit, well, then you might as well get out of the way. God may take you out of the way because you're just a hindrance to the rest. You're a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. He wants to clean up his body. The faction movement is cleaning up God's body because these people, after they crucify the righteous, are taken out. And when they're taken out, the tares are being removed from the wheat, which shines forth in the kingdom of their Father, right? So I began to low crawl along the dead grass. That's the crucified flesh under our authority, right? This grass was strange because it had very strong roots that were the size of fingers, and I was able to grip the roots in order to weather the storm. And she puts, being rooted and grounded in love will get us through the storms. Yes, I know that. It is true. And Merlene, who didn't know about this dream, got Ephesians 3:16-19, which is that exact thing. And this was the very next morning. You want to see how God does it with us? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, what is that? Christ in you, right? We just saw it, right? Christ in you. And who's going to escape this? Christ. Christ in you. Verse 18. May be strong to apprehend, not comprehend, that's a false doctrine there. Apprehend. That means obtain it yourself. May be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ. So that's it is the breadth, length, height, and depth of Christ. You want to apprehend all that Jesus is. You have to be rooted and grounded in love to do this. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto what? All the fullness of God. Well, don't say that in most churches. You will get in trouble. She said, it felt like I was in the midst of a tornado. Yeah, but Proverbs 10:25 says, when the whirlwind passeth, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Yep. Eve was rooted to the ground, wasn't she? As I looked ahead of me, I saw a tall flagpole. The cord had been ripped from the pole on the bottom end and was blowing straight out to the side with an American flag attached to the end of it still. That sounds like a big storm coming to America, right? Could it be the Cyto storm? Yes. That's going to be definitely part of it. The flag was being torn and tattered by the storm. And she said, this represents judgment that is quickly coming upon this country and the world in the form of pestilence, loss of food, economic hard times. What has happened in China will affect all globally. Yes, it is spreading globally. Some say no, but I'm convinced they're wrong. It doesn't have to be for long, though. I got to tell you, I believe by spring, America's going to be in deep trouble. People dying. Yeah. Then I saw the shadowy figure of a man being picked up by the wind and turned upside down. This shadowy figure, of course, is some unrighteous person representing probably many unrighteous people. He flew up into the air about 100 feet and then fell back to the earth on his head. Ooh, that's bound to hurt. And she says, representing all the wicked who will be taken by this storm that is coming. Again, Proverbs 10:25, when the whirlwind passeth, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Isaiah 24:1-6, Eve puts here. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, and as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, and as with the buyer, so with the seller, and as with the creditor, so with the debtor, and as with the taker of interest, so with the giver of interest to him. The earth shall be utterly emptied and utterly laid waste, for the Lord has spoken this word. Yep, God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't even respect people that are in church buildings. If they're not righteous, he doesn't respect them. But among the righteous, he is no respecter of persons. He does respect faith. He doesn't respect people who say they have faith but don't have works. Faith without works is dead. They're still a wicked person. Doesn't matter if they go to church every day. They're still a wicked person. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The lofty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is polluted unto the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. Well, I haven't seen a day like this one where the curse is totally devouring the earth. Amazing, right? And they that dwell therein are found guilty. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. And after the storm was over, and I was able to stand and walk again, I went to find the underground shelter that Michael and my grandfather had prepared for me. Hidden in Christ, right? Amen. Michael is he who is like God, who is like God, right? Grandfather could be the original church, right? And, you know, if that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son. That is the secret place of the Most High. That is where people are delivered from the plague. Psalm 91. And she puts here, representing the original gospel and the provision that will be supplied by the man-child ministers during the revival that will spring from all of the devastation and judgments that God is bringing upon the world. Yes, it's going to be a sad thing, but it's going to bring forth fruit in the kingdom. I met a young blonde-haired girl about 10 years old whose mother had put her in charge of watching her two little brothers. Blonde hair quite often has a spiritual type of submitting, because hair is a sign of submission in 1 Corinthians 11, right? Submitting to the Son. Submitting to the S-O-N. Okay? She asked me where I was going and if she could come along. And I said, sure, follow me. That's representing our little sister that the mother church abandoned. She will come out from among the apostate church to follow the man-child and bride companies into the wilderness where we will be provided for. You remember how the early church was provided, the Old Testament church was provided for in the wilderness, even after Egypt was destroyed. Well, here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. We went down into the shelter and we found that it was stocked with food and supplies and everything we needed. Yeah, true. My God shall supply your every need according to his riches and glory, right? And then I woke up. She said, I asked Father for a word by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on commend in the Bible Concordance under Psalm 31 and 5. In context, 1 through 24. In thee, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear unto me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou to me a strong rock, a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pluck me out of the net that they have laid for me. And of course, they fall into the net themselves, right? Pluck me out of the net that they have laid for me, for thou art my stronghold. Into thy hand I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, thou God of truth. I hate them that regard lying vanities, which are many, many. But I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy loving kindness, for thou hast seen my affliction. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large place. We've had quite a few prophecies that are saying we're going to a large place. That's a lot of freedom. The opposite happened to the people in the cities in China, right? Verse 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in distress. Mine eye wasteth away with grief, yea, my soul and my body. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are wasted away. Because of all mine adversaries, I am become a reproach, yea, unto my neighbors exceedingly, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard of the defaming of many. Well, that's what the wicked do. Terror on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. Yes, they are doing it. They're trying to figure out a way to wipe out a multitude of people. They think you're the problem and that you're a bunch of rodents, right? But I trusted in thee, O Lord, and I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me in thy loving kindness. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in Sheol. Let the lying lips be dumb, which speak against the righteous insolently, with pride and contempt. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that take refuge in thee before the sons of men. In the covert of thy presence wilt thou hide them from the plottings of man. So they hide in God, right? Thou wilt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous loving kindness in a strong city. As for me, I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O, love the Lord, all ye his saints. The Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth him that dealeth proudly. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all ye that hope in the Lord. Yes, amen. Eve had a dream that she and others had finished their job and the bride was ready for the marriage. I believe this was the dreamers because their jobs have been to bring correction and, prophecies too, and prophecies and things like that. And it's always been for correction. And of course, the humble take correction. They love correction because it's a way to get closer to God, right? But anyway, their job was finished and the bride was ready for the marriage. And then in the dream, I walked up to her and told her that her ex, who was factious, had died that morning. And we thought that this was a symbol of the faction dying when the bride is matured. Because obviously the Lord is using the factious as crucifiers and as slanderers against the bride. And I think in spring, the bride's going to be finished, just as the faction will be under judgment by the plague. Yeah. Okay. Okay, this is another revelation from Eve and the bride being perfected. And this was February the 5th. The night before I had this dream, I asked the Lord to show me where we, that is local UBM, which is a type of larger UBM, usually in the dreams, right? Where we were at with him. He then gave me this encouraging dream for us. I dreamed that it was nighttime, and I, representing the bride of Christ, of the last Adam, was standing on the roof of my apartment building, and I was standing in front of a red brick chimney facing the prison that is across the street. This represents overcoming the house that our old nature is prisoner to through the bondage of sin. Amen. My thought was the bricks represent the peoples of God's works when they were in bondage to the old man, of the Egyptians, right? Kind of fits the prison, doesn't it? I noticed that my hair was straight and blonde in this dream. Y'all probably don't know it, but her hair is curly and is red. Overcoming confusion and bondage through our submission to the sun. Confusion is what she calls curly hair. I had a 100-pound white cloth sack of salt. There was a storm rolling in with ominous clouds overhead. And Jesus said that his disciples were the salt of the earth, and 100 represents completeness. The storm represents the turbulent tribulations that are coming upon the earth. Amen. She puts Luke 14:34. Salt, therefore, is good, and if even the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Amen. We have to be salt, right? Suddenly there was a loud clap of thunder overhead, and the Lord spake out of the thunder and proclaimed that I had overcome every lust of the flesh, saying that he was pleased that I would be rewarded, and that I would be rewarded. So the bride is quickly coming to perfection by the grace of God. Amen. Then I took up the 100-pound bag of salt and went down the chimney with it. And when I landed, I was in the living room of the Right Side Mobile Home, the famous Right Side Mobile Home, where the righteous were, right? On the land my dad, or father, had left to me as an inheritance. Yes. You know, when you're dwelling on the inheritance that's been passed on down to you from the Father through our fathers, right, our spiritual fathers, that's good. The fiery trials represented by the chimney are necessary to perfect us. The salt of the Word helps us in this process. Yes, it does. And I noticed that all of the UBM brethren were there. They had totally stripped the place of all the old dirty carpet and every piece of old broken furniture. The place was totally cleaned out and empty. And she has a note, we all in UBM are working hard to clean up our house in preparation for the coming of the man-child and the tribulation time. Amen. They surrounded me as they watched me sweep up the last little bit of dirt into a dustpan. She said, this reminds me of the other dream that I had where the old man was sweeping the last little bit of dirt up. The old man in that dream was the father. He was sweeping up the last little bit of dirt in the Right Side Mobile Home, and I was throwing out the cats. Cats represent self-will, rebellion, right? Amen. So really, really coming to the end of the cleanup job here, right? And after this, we all went outside onto the large concrete porch that was in between the two mobile homes. My oldest son, Noah, met us on the steps. He had other men with him that he was leading. And she said the porch has 12 wooden posts cemented into it for the purpose of supporting a covering over the porch. These represent the government of the man-child that will preside over God's elect during the tribulation period. And Noah represents the man-child and the 8 that were saved through the flood. Amen. In the dream, I knew that he was 9 years old. He had blonde hair and 2 long blue and silver painted wooden swords that he handed to me to carry as he led us all out into the darkness and into the wilderness. She said Noah's being 9 years old represents he was bearing the 9 gifts and the 9 fruits of the Spirit. The swords are the weapons of our warfare, the Word of God. That they're blue because it's heavenly, right? That is sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. We have that weapon. And the 9-year-olds and below, by the way, are not affected by the virus. Did you know that? They haven't lost from 9 years old and under. No child has died of this virus. Amazing. Do you think God is saying something here? You know what I'm thinking? They think that's the although it doesn't say this in the Bible, it is considered to be true by many Christians and most Christians, I guess, that it's the age of accountability. It's the age where you are responsible for what you do. So it's interesting that this disease is this weird. 9 years old and below are not affected by the virus. And that's according to the National Geographic article of the effects of the disease on the body. Interesting. Very interesting. I thought, that's got to be God. And then I woke up. I asked Father for a word by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on the phrase, "I have given Esther the house," in Esther 8 and 7, in context 1 through 8. On that day did the king Ahasuerus, who was, by the way, the king of kings, right, at that time, give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. Oh, boy. Haman, you're in trouble now. Yeah. And Mordecai came before the king. Mordecai meaning little man or man child. Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman. That's the ring of authority. Did you know that God is the one that gave the beast authority to come against the bride and the people of God? And it was for a chastening, and it was for a crucifixion, you know, depending upon who the person was, right? It was for these things. And God gave authority for a time. And it was to bring them to death, literally. But it's a type of the spiritual bringing them to death, right? He gave this authority, this ring of authority, to Haman, the beast, the head of the beast. And then he goes on to say, and he gave it unto Mordecai. So now the authority is taken away from the beast and given to the man child. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Oh boy, Haman, you are in trouble now. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite. That's the head of the beast right there. We know who the head of the beast is, right? It's the elite that's over the deep state, that's over the rest of the people, right? And his device that he had devised against the Jews, which is a type of the Christians today. The things that happen unto them are for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come, right? So you see, God uses the Jews as a type for us. And you see, this parable here in Esther is very clear. Haman thought he was going to take down God's people, and he was deceived, because God wasn't going to permit it. And he gave authority instead to Mordecai to bring down the beast kingdom. Then the king held out to Esther the golden scepter. So Esther arose and stood before the king. And she said, "If it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the things seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews that are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred?" Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, "Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews." So you can see who has been given authority to take down the beast, whether it's the beast in the world or the beast in the church. It makes no difference. They're both fighting against God's people. Who's been given authority is Esther and the man-child, right? The bride and the man-child. And him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Who else hanged upon a gallows? Judas? Because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Why, write ye also to the Jews as it pleaseth you in the king's name. So in the name of Jesus, the people who have been given this authority are passing it on to the people to what? Stand for their lives. Mordecai and Esther passed on the authority to stand for your life against the Haman, head of the beast, and all of the people under him. And they did. And they slaughtered a lot of the leadership at that time, including the sons of Haman. And seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. So, the bride and the man-child are given authority to destroy the works of the beast kingdom against God's people. It's happening. Look around you. It is happening. And, of course, as we go into the tribulation period, there will be people who still need persecuting and still need crucifying. And so the beast will be permitted to do that. And when the beast is through doing that, they will have no more authority. You know, the man-child's ministry to Esther was to raise her up to be the bride, to be in the king's house and have authority, and to save the people of God. And all this fits the bride of the end time, all of this. And the King of Kings, of course, is our Lord. And he is able to destroy your enemy when your enemy has done his work in you. What is that work? It's the work of crucifixion. You will be, as you go under this enemy, crucified as to your own will, your own desires. You'll be very careful not to sin. You'll be very careful to walk pleasing unto the Lord because you need him so badly to protect and to bless you and to deliver you. And because you want to be well pleasing unto him, the further down this road you go. Amen. We want to be well pleasing unto the Lord. So, and I have a couple more revelations here that are really good too. And we might do that Wednesday. Well, Father, we want to be all that we can be. And we want to be your Marines here in this world, right? Father, we thank you for what you're doing in us. We thank you that the testings and the trials and the tribulations have separated the tares from the wheat. And, of course, the tares are bundled together, just as we read today. They're all together. They all joined the beast, which is their real, true, original parent anyway. You know, they are members of the body of the beast by their own actions of crucifying God's people. So, Lord, we know that the beast is going to receive many blows at the hand of your people, especially your leadership, especially the bride and the man-child. Many blows which will take away their authority over righteous people. And we thank you, Lord, that that this testing and this trial and this plague itself is going to take away wrongful authority over your people, Lord. This pestilence is going to take out the wicked who proclaim to be leaders in this kingdom, but they don't look like Jesus. They don't have the ministry of Jesus. They don't talk like Jesus. They have no power like Jesus. So he says, depart from them. And the people of God don't know enough to depart from them, Lord. They submit to these things that proclaim to be the church and are not. And Lord, your people need to now resubmit to what looks like your leadership in the Bible. And Lord, we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that you don't change, but men love to change you into their own image. It's much easier on them. They don't have to die to self that way. They just love to have their ears tickled. And Lord, we ask you to put the fear of God in your people. When Haman proclaimed the death of God's people, they feared you. They came to you. They cried out to you in repentance. And you changed that situation using the man-child and the bride. You delivered them out from under it. Esther and Mordecai, you delivered them. And what a great victory it was. It was like the Passover, very much like the Passover. And the wicked were destroyed, and the righteous thrived. And Esther and Mordecai had authority in the kingdom, and the people knew it. See, soon the people will know it. Right now they don't know what the kingdom of God looks like or what the church looks like. I have no idea. I tell people when they get saved, go read your Bible. Read the New Testament. Read it furiously until you find out what the church looks like. And when you find out what the church looks like, go and look for that. Don't go out there to the first church you think you will not understand their deception, or you will not understand the religious spirits behind bringing you into bondage in that religion. You do not understand them. They are deceiving spirits. What you need to do is become familiar with the one who wrote the book, because it's the only truth that we have. And God, we praise you. We thank you for working in your people this wisdom that they will know and understand what the true church looks like. Lord, when these plagues come through here and other things, earthquakes too, following the plagues, you know, when these things come through here, they're going to realize that their leadership knows nothing about being preserved through these things. But these other strange people over there, they do know how to be preserved, and they know what the Word of God says, and they begin to stand on the Word of God and teach them to do the same. And Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, let them recognize the true leadership. Much like the disciples in Jesus' day who gave up the leadership of the apostate Pharisees and Sadducees and Zelotes and all these that other denominations, they gave them up to follow Jesus. They came out from among them, and now they were the church, the called out ones. I was explaining to a young man the other day, the church is not what the church says it is. It is not. It is the people that come out of the denominations that are the called out ones, just as it was in Jesus' day. He called them the church. They came out from among the apostate denominations of Judaism, and they followed Jesus. And today, those that come out and follow the Lord are the church. They are the true church. It's not those that proclaim themselves to be the church. It's the church that comes out from among them. And Father, we thank you by your mighty power that you're going to deliver your people. You're going to give them discernment and understanding about what is the church and what is not the church. They will go back to the Bible in order to be pleasing unto you. They will serve the word in order to be pleasing unto you and to escape the things that are coming upon this world. If there's anything that your word teaches, is that if people fear you and submit to you, they will escape. And the wicked who rebel even while they call themselves Christians will not escape. And this demonstration, Lord, you're going to make very plain to your people who are still in bondage in Babylon. And Cyrus is coming to set them free from Babylon captivity. And then they're going to go back to their land, stand on their promises, the promised land, and bear fruit and bring forth Christ in them. Thank you, Lord, for doing this great thing that you're doing these days. Some people look at it on it as a disaster. It's because they don't know what your word says. They don't know your plan. It's not a disaster. It's our King. He's coming to set things straight. He's going to deliver us from bondage to Babylonish religion in Babylon. And that's where most of God's people are, because they don't know. They're supposed to look just like that church in the book of Acts. In fact, we're going to continue writing that chapter in the book of Acts. You know, we're going to have our own Acts. It's going to be multiplied just like the book of Acts, but it's going to be multiplied many times over. God's people are going to be a powerhouse. They're going to destroy the kingdom of the beast. Just as your word says in Daniel, they will destroy the kingdom of the beast. Even as they destroy the kingdom of the beast in their own lives, which is number one. That's number one. That's most important. And then the beast in the world. Thank you, Father, for the great work you're doing among your people. It's very, very great and wonderful. And the end fruit will be great among your people. Many signs and wonders and miracles to deliver your people are going to go forth, as they did with the man-child Jesus, so they will with the man-child in our day, all over the earth. He couldn't reach that far, but today he is in all of those man-child ministers out there, going to do signs and wonders and raise the dead, even among the dead in this plague. Going to raise the dead, cast out demons. And the people who are righteous and pure and holy are going to follow him. He is the wise who saved the city. Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing this. Thank you for opening the eyes of your people. Thank you for keeping your word from being destroyed by the wicked. Thank you, Lord, that your word will continue to go out and out and out and out until it reaches all over the world, Lord. Thank you for the great and mighty miraculous work you're doing in our day to deliver your people from bondage in their religious systems, and to send them back to their own land and to build the kingdom there. It's the only place the kingdom can be built is on the promises, and that was called the promised land. So thank you that they will depart from iniquity, depart from the nations, their dominion, the nations who have dominion over them, and they will return to their spiritual land, their spiritual Israel, their spiritual Zion, their spiritual King David, etc. The parables are many, but they do show us the truth. And we thank you, Father, for this mighty, mighty time that we're coming into. It is going to be awesome. Saints, pray. Teach the people around you to confess Psalm 91. Like we were sharing a while back, it's a rather simple and easy way. Ask them to repent and turn from their sins and invite Jesus to be Lord over them through his word, and teach them to confess that Psalm 91. And thank God that we have a Passover lamb who's already been sacrificed according to 1 Corinthians 5. Our lamb has already been killed, and all that remains is for us to apply that by faith and to accept this gift from God of the Passover lamb and our deliverance from this curse in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and the Lord bless you and keep you. And we'll do this again very soon. Amen. Good night.